Final hour of Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch joined alongside Rocco Nucci, having some interesting conversation here today. Everything that's gone on here over the last couple of weeks, kind of done in some sort of correspondence with the coronavirus. And if you're out there in the news, you really can't avoid it in any way, shape, or form. And we are going to head to the hotline to bring in our very next guest, a gentleman that normally joins us here in studio, but, you know, social distancing, trying to practice what they've been telling us to practice for a few days at least now. We welcome in Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram on our local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. If you have a chance and you don't have the coronavirus, make sure you stop by the showroom. I rolled by today, and they were still open at Vandermark Jewelers. They're on Broad Street right across from the hospital here in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. And if you stop by, you'll see why. Dave, as always, my friend, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying this brand-new social distance, you know.
Well, this social distancing thing is odd for a lot of us, and everything is really kind of at a standstill. Dave, you cover a wide variety of different cases, but most recently you've been all over a number of court cases, domestic relations, juvenile courts, and really they've limited a lot of their face-to-face interactions. How does this impact that process or those processes?
Well, it was, this is some real hard decision making that was done on the, behalf of the judges over at the Justice Center. And basically, real early on, Judge James Walther, who's the presiding judge, so he's kind of like the chief judge of Lorain County Common Police Court. Real early on, he met with his staff and said, look, we're going to kind of limit, the interaction that we have with the public as best we can. So if you have a pen on your desk, make sure that the public doesn't use that, and then you continue to use it after you hand it over to them. Don't do that. If anybody's coughing or sneezing or appears sick, we're going to put up signs and say, don't come in. If you're not sick, get your marriage license early if you're getting married in the next 60 days, because we don't know if the courts are going to close and you won't be able to get married in front of a judge or find a magistrate to do that for you. And plus, we're trying to limit the number of people that are in one place. So if you want to come in with a dozen of your family members to get married by the judge, for the moment, you're kind of out of luck. So he was a real kind of early adopter of some of these limitations. And from there, it extended out to now there's a lot more video conferencing or telephone conferencing going on in these cases where you have a defense attorney and maybe, somebody who's at the juvenile detention home or at the, or over at the jail or, is in the hospital and they have some sort of, mental health issue where they've had to be civilly committed for 72 hours. You have folks like that who are getting a lot of that done by video conferencing so that you don't have people exposed to other people who might have come in contact with somebody or who might be able to spread, to spread any kind of infection or disease or just, in general, any kind of sickness. So it's just by spreading people out and keeping them in different places and then using technology, the courts have kind of found a way around, the problem of having a lot of people in the same room where they can get each other sick.
Now, we were going to ask you about something along those same lines. It was about 24 hours ago exactly. You had mentioned that the Jacques Ross death penalty trial was going to continue according to plan, although we learned a couple of hours ago this has now been postponed. I was still at least a little bit surprised that, at least as of yesterday, it was still going to go on. But you mentioned there's a coronavirus effect on this as well.
Well, that was really interesting. And this morning, during mid-morning break, Judge Christopher Rothery came out and informed the jury and the defense attorneys and the prosecutors and the very, I would admittedly, very few people who were coming in just to watch the trial, those in attendance who were family members or just kind of, interested courtgoers, people in the gallery, that he just could no longer have the trial go on as normal. One of the expert witnesses for the prosecution, and I don't know who, is currently in quarantine after being exposed to the coronavirus. So that person could not obviously appear in court on behalf of the prosecution. And then as well, there are several expert witnesses who could not appear because their employers would not allow them to travel, and they would have had to, you know, kind of do it on their own. They wouldn't be paid for it. You know, there's a whole bunch of issues, you know, going on with their employment, that they were just not able to travel at this time because of those concerns. As well, you know, kind of on third hand, if you will, on a third finger, there are some witnesses who are traveling in from out of state, from out of the area, who have health concerns. And when you're traveling through an airport or through a train station or, you know, that kind of thing, you don't want to have somebody who is immunocompromised, you know, has heart disease or has, you know, respiratory issues and that kind of thing. You don't want them traveling through large crowds where this kind of, you know, infection might be easily spread. So those witnesses were basically couldn't be called. As well as I spoke with defense attorney Michael Camera, who said that a number of the people that he had subpoenaed for his client's defense did not show up on the basis of the subpoenas. So he was having some issue getting his witnesses to show up in court at all. It just became a point where it was untenable for the judge to continue the trial for health reasons and, you know, primarily. So the next time we're going to see Mr. Ross in court and continue the trial is at the earliest, April 6th, and that's about 3 weeks from now.
Again, we're being joined on the hotline by Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram on our local beat. It's brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. You know, Dave, yesterday had to be crazy trying to follow the process of this election, or lack thereof now, as we know more today. But, you know, was it going to happen? Wasn't it going to happen? You guys were all over this last night. At the Chronicle-Telegram, you guys were really right on the beat of this thing. But it seemed like the right decision was ultimately made. But I know tonight typically would be the busiest, or one of the busiest nights of the year for you guys, as you guys provide great election night coverage. But last night seemed like it was just as exciting as a normal election night, didn't it?
We did not know until very late last night what we were going to be doing today. That's true, Bull. You know, it was one of those crazy things. I think this is, you know, I can't recall a time when this has happened besides another time at one of my former, you know, at my former paper that we had an election night with no election results because of a technical error. You know, so our front page the next day was, you know, no results due to, you know, computer problems. Last night we were on the phone very late with state and local officials. We're working our sources. Absolutely fantastic work by my colleagues, you know, and primarily, you know, Dylan Reynolds, Carissa Wojtek, you know, Lena Yost, and others here in our offices, you know, to get the real straight story, following Governor DeWine's press conferences, following the announcements by Dr. Amy Acton from the Ohio Department of Health. It was very late last night before we were able to say, look, we're not going to be voting. The polls will not be open in Lorain County on Tuesday, you know, at you know, 6:30 in the morning. And obviously some of that has now been pushed to June. You can still get an absentee ballot. If you have any questions, you can obviously call the Lorain County Board of Elections to get the straight story. Follow them on Facebook or go to their website. You know, obviously go to ChronicleT.com for a little more comprehensive coverage of what's going on at present. But yeah, it was wild. Yesterday was very wild. You know, both, you know, I was thinking I was going to have to work a double shift today because I would have both the trial and the election to cover. So I was prepared to be here for 16 hours today. And it turns out I'm going to get to go home a little earlier than I expected. Because quite frankly, there's no election. So there's no results. Nobody was at the polls. It's wild. It's probably the strangest election day that I've had in my nearly 20-year career. So,
well, and these are very, very strange times. And I'd venture to guess you may not have stranger times, even if you do this another 25 or 30 years. And I could say the same thing. I'm pretty confident in stating that. And then, you know, it's at least a little concerning to know what we're dealing with right now. And I think everybody's trying to take all the proper precautions. It got over to Lorain County over the weekend. You know, what kinds of details have you learned about the known coronavirus cases here in Lorain County?
Well, as of right now, we have four confirmed in Lorain County. One of those is a Lorain police officer We don't, you know, because of privacy concerns, we don't have that officer's name at present. Also, one is a food worker at Oberlin College, which obviously Oberlin College has decided to has decided to put all the rest of their classes online or distance learning for the remainder of the of this school year, at least as it goes right now. So that takes away some of the possibility of, of spreading, any kind of coronavirus, and respiratory issues to people at Oberlin College. As of right now, though, that's about as much as we know. We've heard other rumors. We're tracking down leads and rumors. Obviously I won't go into those, for right now. But once we have things confirmed, we'll share that with the public, as early as we can, and by Twitter, by Facebook, chroniclet.com, and in the print product as well, and we'll keep Lorain County informed when we learn more. I imagine there will be additional cases. I think health officials in the state have been very clear about that. I think health officials on the local level have been very clear about that. So this isn't over. Hopefully, it's been mitigated by people taking taking precautions. Like I said, last week, prepare, don't panic. I think it's good, as far as I've seen, I don't think people have been panicking, which makes me feel much better about the quality of the folks who are out here. And it's really nice to see that everybody seems to be treating each other, with respect and respecting boundaries. And being good neighbors and good citizens. So let's hope that continues.
We say all of that, and then we come to scanner stories, because this is where sometimes the practices that you just mentioned, they have a tendency of going right out the window. And I'm going to throw one out there to give you a chance to come up with some of the best ones you have seen and heard this week. Dave, I can't believe that people actually think it's okay to call 911 when they've run out of toilet paper. It's gotten to the point where authorities have had to tell people, look, this is not an emergency. This does not constitute an emergency if you run out of TP, but people are actually doing that. They feel like they have to call 911 if they're running out of toilet paper. That's my scanner story of the week, so hopefully nobody listening is in that same category.
Let's hope not. I think that is what we might consider, and I get it. I think for right now, I think most dispatchers would just kind of gently say to folks, look, it's not the appropriate use of the 911 system. Please don't do that. If you have an actual, if your toilet paper is on fire and it's spreading to the rest of your bathroom, I think that's maybe a circumstance where you would want to call 911. But if you're running out of toilet paper, please don't call 911. Try to find somebody else to help you out with that particular problem.
Well stated, my friend. Very well stated. So with that, the door is open for you for some scanner stories for this week. And, in these uncertain times, there are some, let's just say interesting calls that are made with a large degree of uncertainty.
Well, I'll give you this is about as close to a run on the banks as I could find for you here, Bull. But the Dateline Maple Heights fight at U.S. Bank on Northfield Road at the ATM. Seven people fighting and 20 cars in line because the ATM is dispensing more money than it should.
Whoa! That's like a live version of Cash Explosion, right? When you get to sit inside
right.
The phone booth and the cash is flying everywhere. Holy
exactly.
Smokes. Now, there is an outcry and there is a fight that I guess I kind of understand. Although, see, I think if I was driving past it or if I was walking past that, it might just be more fun to watch. Like, I'm not sure I'd want to get in there and mix it up. That might be more fun to just kind of be a spectator for. But
it's like Battle Royale,
Yes. Yes, you're exactly right. Exactly right. Well, Dave, as always.
Royal Rumble there.
Yeah, for sure. It's every man for himself. Every man and every woman for themselves. Dave, we always appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time. Thank you, as always, for joining us. We look forward to catching up with you again next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bull. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave. Again, that's Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Television.